These are not normal times.
And therein, says Jay Powell, lies the problem from American Public Media. This is Marketplace. In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rizdal. It is Wednesday, today the 27th day of July. Good as always to have you along, everybody. First, the news. Money in this economy is more expensive this afternoon than it was this morning, 0.75 percentage point more expensive, with the Federal Reserve having raised its benchmark interest rate just like everybody knew they were gonna. And said Fed Chair Jay Powell, maybe they're gonna keep on raising rates.
So what are we gonna be looking at?
This honestly was one of those answering his own question kind of things.
You know, we'll be looking at the incoming data, as I mentioned.
He always mentions the data.
That'll start with economic activity. Are we seeing the slowdown in economic activity that we think we need? And there's some evidence that we are at this time.
Evidence the rest of us will get tomorrow morning with second quarter GDP comes out. Powell and the gang get it tonight, by the way. All right, what else?
Of course, we'll be looking at labor market conditions, and we'll be asking whether we see the alignment between supply and demand getting better, getting closer.
Of course they will. That's that whole two job openings for every person looking for a job that we have been telling you about.
Of course, we'll be looking closely at inflation.
Well, yeah.
Do we see actual readings of inflation coming down?
Yeah, not yet, actually.
So in light of all that data, the question we'll be asking is whether the stance of policy we have is sufficiently restrictive to bring inflation back down to our 2% target.
Stance of policy, of course, is Fed speak for interest rates, the next whack at which the Fed will take in September.
As I mentioned, as it relates to September, I said that another unusually large increase could be appropriate, but that's not a decision we're making now. It's one that we'll make based on the data we see.
Did I tell you he says that data thing all the time? All right, that's the Fed news of the day on Wall Street today. Tell you what, traders loved them. Some Jay Powell will have the details when we do the numbers. Here's a labor market follow-up to what Chair Powell said today about this economy. If it feels like you're getting an unusual number of out-of-office replies to your emails, well, you are. There's been a big increase in people taking time off this summer. So say the Bureau of Labor Statistics and the Census Bureau. Nearly a million more vacation days taken this June than last. And get this, between June 29th and July 11th, nearly 4 million people were either out sick with COVID or caring for a loved one. That is almost double the number from last year. And once again, for those in the back of the room, this virus is still not done with this economy. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab takes a look at how businesses are dealing with that.
As COO of Phil Stefani Signature Restaurants in Chicago, Stephen Hartenstein doesn't usually do much cooking, but he's been spending more time in the kitchens of its 12 restaurants.
Partially for camaraderie, partially to learn, and partially because we're short-staffed.
It's a big weekend. The company has a few booths at the Lollapalooza Music Festival. But he says it's been like this all summer. Employees are taking about 40% more time off. He doesn't want people coming in sick, and he knows they need a break.
And yet, if you're blessed enough to be constantly busy, it puts you in a quandary.
A quandary that's often unpredictable. When he's in a pinch, he sometimes calls former employees to fill in. But mostly, he's been cross-training workers on how to bus tables, serve guests, and bartend. Arthur Wheaton, director of labor studies at Cornell, says temporary spikes in labor shortages are happening across lots of sectors.
You're seeing it in the airline industry for people not having enough pilots. You're seeing it with teachers.
He says businesses are either trying to hire extra workers or reduce output. Of course, both of those options come with consequences for businesses and for consumers.
Whether it's groceries or whether it's cars, if you can't get enough of the product in, demand is higher than supply, you charge more money.
This is the cost of doing business for now, and maybe forever. Caroline Walsh, an HR analyst at Gartner, says employees are no longer shy about taking time off.
Workers care more about their work-life balance and actually are rethinking the role that work plays in their life.
And that means people are less likely to leave any amount of time off on the table. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
This is going to sound like a trick question, but it's really not if you think about it for a second. What do Google, Snapchat, TikTok, and Facebook all have in common, other than the ability to suck an enormous amount of time and attention away from you? Or maybe because of that, they all have business models that rely on selling ads. And because of that, they've all got a common problem, because ad spending ain't what it used to be. And point of fact, in its earnings report this afternoon, Meta, the parent company of Facebook, said it's under pressure from, quote, the weak advertising demand environment. That slowdown in ads, though, isn't hitting everybody equally. Marketplace's Sabri Benishour is on that one.
Spending on advertising is slowing down.
There is a pretty unprecedented number of problems that are affecting advertising-based companies right now.
Jasmine Enberg is a principal analyst at Insider Intelligence. A big one, inflation.
Corporations, the ones that spend money on marketing campaigns, are seeing cost inflation in a variety of their other parts of their business.
Mark Mahaney is a senior managing director at Evercore ISI.
So that means at the margin, they probably have less money to spend on marketing.
So it's no surprise then that ad-based companies' earnings have slowed down, but not equally. Alphabet's earnings were better than expected. Twitter's were disappointing, and Snap's were dismal.
No advertising revenue platform is recession-proof, but not all ad platforms are created equal, and some are going to be more recession-resistant.
We hear and talk about Snapchat and Twitter a lot, but in terms of revenue, they're tiny, sometimes even considered experimental advertising. Google and Meta are huge. Again, Insider Intelligence's Jasmine Enberg.
We are expecting Snapchat and Twitter each to make up under 1% of total worldwide digital ad revenues this year. Compare that with Google, which is up close to 30%.
So it's the little guys that are getting stung worse here. But ad revenue slowing down is very different from declining. Kate Scott Dawkins is with media investment company Group M.
Overall, the industry, we don't see a decline in store.
Some companies may lose ground, others may gain. TikTok's growth has been explosive, for example. But overall, Scott Dawkins says revenue growth for the industry will be in the low double digits. Not terrible, just not the 50 to 60% growth some companies saw last year. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
Coming up,
my dad always said, son, if this was easy, everybody would do it.
Well, fact check, true, right? First, though, let's do the numbers. I don't know if I'd have done that. The super happy day. Anyway, Dow Industrial was up 436 today, 1.3%, 32,197. The NASDAQ up 469, that is 4%. All right, fine. Super happy music. 12,032. S&P 500, 102 points to the good, 2.6%. 4,023 there with the Fed's decision on interest rates. So let's check in on some banks. J.P. Morgan Chase and Bank of America both deposited about 1.6%. Goldman Sachs rang up 1.8%. With all the heat across the country, how about a look at air conditioning? A new Brookings Institution study says about 70% of homes in the United States now have central air conditioning, while 10% of households have absolutely none. But access to home air conditioning is, as you might imagine, really closely correlated with household income. Bond prices rose, yield on the 10-year T-note down to 2.77%. You're listening to Marketplace. This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We talk about inflation a lot on this program. Too much for some of you. I know that because you tell me. But honestly, it's not just us. Jay Powell talks about it a lot. Congress talks about it a lot, Republicans mostly. President Biden talks about it a lot, mostly because he can't not talk about it. But you know who doesn't talk about inflation all that much? Advertisers, which makes sense because who wants to say out loud that they are raising prices? But the last time inflation was this bad, back in the late 1970s, some brands actually saw opportunity in the I word. Marketplace's Matt Levin has this one.
What's the recipe to beat inflation? Simmer a pound of ground beef, add one tablespoon of mustard, a cup of sour cream, and then the magic ingredient.
All right, now I'm mixing in the Bisquick.
I'm making something called a hamburger pancake roll-up, basically a Bisquick-infused meat slurry stuffed inside a Bisquick pancake. Except for some reason, you cook the hamburger meat with like a half ton of ketchup.
Ugh. Man, ketchup is really gross like this.
The recipe was featured in magazine ads Bisquick ran in 1975, when inflation was around 9%, about where it is now. At the top of the ad, above an illustration of a butter and syrup-drenched pancake, was the slogan.
Inflation presents the pancake.
Robert Clara is a senior editor at Adweek. There was also Inflation Presents the Biscuit, an ad with a recipe for Bisquick tuna bake. Yum. All the ads had the same tagline, Bisquick, an idea whose time has come again.
What they were essentially saying is, we've been your friend all this time. You didn't get the sense that the brand was tripping over itself to attach its name to a current event.
If instead the slogan was upset about Watergate, Bisquick is here, that feels like a reach. Clara says inflation was mostly a headache for marketing departments, but for the baking mixes of the world.
If you were a brand that was already basing your sales pitch on, hey, we're pocketbook friendly, inflation was the equivalent of a red carpet tumbling down the steps.
Take this 1979 ad from an up-and-coming retail chain.
Walmart's Super Inflation Buster sale blasts through the inflation barrier with big discount savings on hundreds of everyday items.
Back then, the actual word inflation was prominent in lots of ads. But in 2022...
Right now, every day seems to get more and more expensive. That's why Walmart has everyday low prices. So you can.
William White is chief marketing officer at Walmart, which this week told investors that high prices are leading shoppers to buy less discretionary stuff like new clothes and more necessities like groceries. He says there's a downside to using the I word.
Customer behaviors are changing. People are stressed. And I think by talking and using the words inflation and really shining a mirror up directly in terms of what people are facing, I'm just not sure that that's as effective.
Instead of those inflation-busting ads from the 1970s, today you get more soothing montages of happy, cost-conscious families making a salad. Plus, you got to remember, most of the people who made that new Walmart ad and most of the people who watched it, inflation wasn't really in their vocabulary until this year. In the 70s, the word was everywhere because inflation had been around since the 60s.
To me, it was just the fact of life.
Gail Cohn did much of the household shopping for her husband and two children back then.
We used the joke about our hedges against inflation. This would be such things as buying toilet paper in quantity and stuff that we could.
Well, we used to buy a whole side of beef.
That's Don, her husband of 56 years. The joke was funny because Don was an economist at the Fed working to fight inflation. And buying toilet paper in bulk, that's not exactly what Don wanted other consumers to be doing.
When people expect inflation, if you think you see a bargain, you really grab it. So you start demanding stuff ahead of time, which just adds to the inflation pressure.
It's a vicious cycle. There's no definitive study on the impact of advertising on inflation expectations. But economists do seem to agree that everyone saying inflation all the time can't help. The Cones may have bought an entire side of beef, but they never made Bisquick hamburger pancake roll-ups. And I gotta say, they were missing out.
I'm gonna fight inflation here and dig in, see how this actually is. Ugh. That's not bad. I can't believe it.
If you're wondering, the Bisquick cost me $5.99. General Mills, which owns Bisquick, has raised the prices on its product lines 5 times over the past year. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.
Matt Levin taking one for the team there. All right, this next one kind of goes hand in hand with the Fed's recent spate of interest rate increases. The National Association of Realtors says June pending home sales, that is contracts signed, to be clear, the number of them fell 8.6% last month. That's from May, the latest in a string of indicators that the, shall we say, robust housing market we've come to know during the pandemic is finally cooling off. So what's it like to be out there trying to buy or sell a home right now? Marketplace's Savannah Marr has some dispatches from the shifting American housing market.
Josh Landon started house hunting in the suburbs of Tampa in early March.
We were finding that the market was crazy, that houses were being listed and contracted in 24 hours.
So when another buyer backed out of purchasing a new home under construction, Landon scooped it up. He signed a contract in April, but while he waited for construction to finish, he noticed a shift in the building company's promotional emails.
The incentives have been increasing and prices were decreasing.
He talked the company into letting him cancel his initial contract so he could take advantage of the new deals.
We got a nicer house and a better subdivision for less money.
As mortgage rates have started to rise, the housing market has cooled off drastically, says Lawrence Yoon, chief economist with the National Association of Realtors.
It does feel like someone just switched the light off.
With higher rates pricing lots of potential buyers out, he says those left on the market can afford to be pickier. And some sellers, like Mark Abermosky, weren't prepared for that. He put his house outside Madison on the market in April.
We were basically told we would list on a Thursday, we would do an open house Saturday, we'd take offers on Monday, and it would be sold on Tuesday.
3 months and a few failed deals later, the house is finally under contract. Mickey Maynard is feeling that whiplash too. She listed her mom's condo in Ann Arbor in early May.
The market that we had expected to compete in literally vanished in a week.
That condo is still on the market, and Maynard has had to lower the price and do some home improvements to attract buyers, concessions she didn't expect to make just a few months ago. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
Chair Powell talked a little bit about PCE in his presser this afternoon, personal consumption expenditure, the central bank's favorite measure of prices and what they are doing. The June update comes out Friday morning. And the Bureau of Economic Analysis, whence PCE comes, tracks, among other things, pork prices, which for May were up 13% year on year. That's what we're all paying retail, but what about all the way up the food and price chain, too? The hog farmers and what happens when they take their product to market. Brian Duncan's the vice president of the Illinois Farm Bureau. Also, more to the point, a hog farmer himself, corn and soybeans as well. Mr. Duncan, good to talk to you again, sir.
Thanks for having me back on, Kai. I appreciate it.
Well, it's been a year plus, I guess. How are things?
Well, you know, on the farm right now in Illinois, we're feeling pretty good about our crops, at least. We've had some rain for the in most areas, yeah. And so feeling pretty positive about that. Like a lot of other business, the business side of things are challenging at times, to say the least, right now.
Well, say more about that because So let's tick through them. Number one, inflation, is that a factor for you?
Oh, absolutely. Fuel, fertilizer, all of these things, we've seen a tremendous rise in prices, the availability of parts and of machinery. You know, in some case, things that we need are not available at any price, like some machinery repairs and things that we needed this spring. So, challenging times, definitely.
So what do you do if you can't get the, you know, part for the tractor or the, you know, grain for the hogs? What do you do?
Well, we wait at times. We wait on the supply chain or we improvise. Farmers are making do with mm-hmm. less. We're being more strategic in where we use our inputs. And we're wondering about what this next crop year brings as we start planning for 2023 already. We're trying to get prices, trying to budget. But Kai, remember, farmers are price takers, and that puts us in a really tough spot. We just can't pass cost increases on to those that buy our products. And so there's a lot of pencil scratching going on right now. How's that sound?
Well, it's funny because I've got an apple farmer I talked to up in Yakima, Washington, and we had him on the other day, and he said literally the same thing, that you guys are price takers. And that never kind of occurred to me, that you don't have the luxury at the foundational level of agriculture to say, no, my hog costs $42 a pound, or my corn costs, you know, $17 a bushel. It's, you got to take what the market gives you.
That's absolutely right. And at the end of the day, we hope our production is good enough and the price is good enough to cover our costs and give us and our family some money to live on. And, you know, Kai, we've been pretty fortunate this year. Our commodity prices have gone up. Mm-hmm. But as we look at the prices that we are paying, especially on the fuel end and the fertilizer end, those costs have gone up 2 to 3 times what they were a year ago. And so we're wondering what happens when the prices we are taking for our goods go down. Where will fuel be priced at that time?
Well, let me put your own question back to you. What will happen when that happens, Mr. Duncan?
It will get tight. Overall, there are decisions that will be made at the farm level that could impact production capabilities if you do with less fertilizer or less crop inputs overall. We will try to be as creative and as resourceful as we can.
Can I ask you, it's kind of a personal question, I suppose, but, and, you know, we've been talking a while, so I figure I can get away with it.
Well, we're friends, right?
that's right. why do you do this? Why are you a farmer?
Oh, I love it. It's a calling, I really believe, Kai. I mean, I think it's a calling, and there's nothing else I'd rather do. And it's challenging, right? But there's no, Kai, there's no businesses that aren't without challenge. So we have some opportunities right now. Prices are good. The challenge we have is how to keep costs in line that are the prices we are receiving can cover the cost. And my dad always said, son, if this was easy, everybody would do it.
Are you running the family farm? Was it your dad's farm?
Yeah. Yes, I'm running the farm, and now I have children actually farming with me, adult children. There's several families that are making a living off this farm. And Kai, there's no better place to raise a family and no better place to live. And so challenges and opportunities, and we try to make the most of the opportunities and lessen the impact of the challenges.
Brian Duncan, he raises hogs, also does some grains and stuff in Illinois. Also, the vice president of the Illinois Farm Bureau as well. Mr. Duncan, thanks for your time, sir. It's always good to connect.
Thanks for catching up, Kai. Appreciate it.
This final note on the way out. Norman Lear turns 100 years old today. All in the Family, Maude, One Day at a Time, just a few of the credits you might know him for. We had him on this program 5 years ago, 2017, talking about the reboot of One Day at a Time with his partner in the new version, Gloria Calderon-Kellett. And we thought it might be nice just to play a little piece of that. Let's think about what's going on in this country right now. Yeah. And you're Norman Lear, and you're the guy who put Maude on the air and All in the Family on the air and things that spoke sharply and incisively about what was going on in this country.
Right. We're going to be talking about, do we really want a five-year-old with a biscuit in his pocket?
And a phone. And a phone. We'll turn the phone off.
But I've got a very...
He always answers the phone. Right. He's answering.
Is he really going to answer the phone?
Hello?
Yeah. There we go. He always does. This is a really true thing. Wow. Even in pitch meetings.
You're going to love this.
We would like to inform you that your membership rewards points have been...
Oh, no, you're kidding. My membership rewards...
This is so important.
This is a real thing. That actually happened.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I have six children.
Yeah.
I've told them forever, I will never, I'll always be available to you. They call rarely, but when they call, it's for something important. So I keep the phone on. I'm sorry.
Amen to that. No, that's fair. That's totally fair. And it's a lesson I could take as a dad. Norman Lear, World War II veteran, legendary television producer, also father of six, 100 years old today. All right, off we go. Not though, without your moment of economic context. Jay Powell got the first word on the program today. He gets the last, too.
I do not think the U.S. is currently in a recession. And the reason is there are just too many areas of the economy that are performing, too well. And of course, I would point to the labor market in particular.
Jay Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve, at his press conference today. Our media production team includes Brian Allison, Jake Cherry, Drew Jostad, Gary O'Keefe, Jeff Peters, Charlton Thorpe, Juan Carlos Dorado, and Becca Weinman. I'm Kai Rizdal. We will see you tomorrow, everybody. This is APM.